We would like to start this morning with a few words of encouragement as we begin another day in service to the Almighty. To center our thoughts for the subject at hand, we would like to direct your attentions to the chart over here to my right, which graphically depicts both man's exit from the Garden of Eden, as well as a path which leads back to the Garden of the Lord to partake of the Tree of Life. On Sunday, Brother Robert Miller directed our attention to this rendering by Brother Bachman. As Brother Robert noted, much of our understanding of core doctrines are incorporated into this chart. This morning, we would like to concentrate on the figure of a man walking along the path labeled In Christ. He's in the center down there at the bottom. He has passed through the waters of baptism. This makes him a very special man. He has become a brother of Christ. He is now a fellow citizen with the saints and of the household of God. And as a new man, continues his walk along a path which now includes a resurrection, if necessary, and a judgment, which will decide if he can, along with the multitude of other faithful believers, partake of the Tree of Life. Why is this man so special? Why do we contemplate his walk among the cursed ground? Because, brothers and sisters, we are this man. This is the path which we tread every day among the thorns and thistles of our fleshly nature. We walk each day in sin's flesh, and yet what great things are in store for each of us if we can be found as this brother walking with his goal before him. What you probably cannot see from where you are sitting is that he carries in his hands a Bible, the scriptures being opened, giving him direction and inspiration in his steps. And from his lips come the simple phrase, "To him that overcometh." This morning we would like to examine a few scriptures from the Psalms, which give voice to the method by which we can be accounted by our Lord as overcomers. We would like to begin in Psalm 138. We'd like to read Psalm 138. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods, or before the Elohim, will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with the strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Any discussion about the salvation of man must begin not with man, but with God. Within these verses, the psalmist expresses his reliance upon the Almighty. He says, "When I cried, thou answerest me. And though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me." This is truly a remarkable thing, one that perhaps we constantly overlook. How small we are as sinful creatures compared to the Almighty God, before whose very presence we cannot stand and live in our current mortal flesh. And yet his love toward us is evident, for we read, "Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly." If we would only recognize the true lowliness of our estate, this is a key to our overcoming. The psalmist provides a great recognition of this great chasm between God and man. The psalmist declares, I will praise thee with my whole heart, which follows the spirit of the law, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and might. If only we could sing the praises of God before the Elohim as part of the redeemed. Worship and praise, brothers and sisters, must not depart from our lips. We must sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. We are told, the glory of the Lord shall fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. A great salvation will be wrought, bringing many sons unto glory. How then has the Almighty decided to perform this work? At the end of verse 7, we read, Thy right hand shall save me. This we believe to be an allusion to him who sits on the right hand of the Father, our Redeemer and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have heard this week of the declarations of Jesus in these morning exhortations. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. Salvation then comes by the power of God, invested in his beloved Son, giving us much reason for hope and for joy. Verse 8 is very interesting to us. It expresses a wide range of emotions in just three short phrases. We read, The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. This verse begins with such a positive statement. Yahweh will perfect that which concerneth me. The ability of the Almighty to raise us up to perfection, though we are weak, frail, sinful creatures of the dust, this is the great gift of our Lord and Creator, which he has extended graciously to men everywhere, calling upon them to repent and to be baptized and to show their faith and their obedience. The other night we sang the hymn, The Lord will be a refuge for the oppressed. And if you look on, at least in my hymn book, it says to sing this with confidence. And this is what we see in this verse, this confidence that the Lord will perfect those things which concerneth us. And yet the psalm ends with a plea for the Lord not to forsake the works of his own hands. It is as if the psalmist, who we believe to be David, suddenly is reminded that he is not worthy of the wonderful joys to be bestowed by the Almighty, that the Almighty, through his justice, has every right to forsake the works of his hands, just as he did the majority of creation at the time of the flood. No one is worthy for the joys of perfection. It is of no wonder, then, that we find within this verse the phrase so common in the Psalms, Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. It is for this reason that the Lord will not only preserve the works of his hands, but will perfect that which concerneth us. And yes, this is us. This perfection is for all that overcome. By way of exhortation, we would like to emphasize one particular characteristic which will readily be found among those who are redeemed, those who turn into the Garden of Eden in this picture to partake of the tree of life. This is one of singleness of heart, soul, and mind in service to the Almighty. Is this a problem with mankind, singleness of mind? Let's give a quick overview. In Joshua, he asked the people, Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. The prophet Elijah asks, How long halt ye between two opinions? James says, A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Our Lord says, No man can serve two masters. Remember Lot's wife. And no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. And the Apostle Paul, recognizing this within himself, says, I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. Let's read how David expresses this desire in Psalm 86. Let's turn to Psalm 86 and we'll read the first 11 verses. Psalm 86, "Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy, unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great, and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy truth, O Lord. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name." Unite my heart to fear thy name. This is a prayer which we should all express, for by doing so, we acknowledge that overcoming of our own flesh is not a personal accomplishment which we can attain by ourselves. We need the help of our Creator. We need Him to help us to unite our hearts to serve His name. And notice the ordering of this verse. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Once we are taught, I will walk in thy truth. And then as we come to perfection, our ways are united. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I'd like to speak for a moment about something which is common in today's society. It's a term which really came out of the computer world. It's a term called multitasking. And I think many of you or all of you are familiar with this term. And it came about, I think, originally when computers were first being created, that it makes the computer appear as though it can do many things at one time. And this term is now being applied to people, and we all are in this category of we go through our busy lives and we try to do as many things as we can at one time. And I see this particularly evident at work. You try to answer the phone, check your email, and deal with other problems all at the same time. Well, this is a great problem for us as believers. There was a study by a psychologist who tried to determine how many things a human being can do at one time, how many things they can keep in their mind for a particular given point in time. And it came out, interestingly enough, that around 7, we can keep roughly 7 things in our minds at a given time. And so what we find then is we're going through our daily life, we're getting off of work, we remember, we have a few things we have to clean up as we go. There's a problem that's been nagging us. There's some emails to check. We get a call from home saying, hey, can you stop by the store and pick up a few things? So we try to remember that. And then we drive home and we turn on the radio and we listen to that. And pretty soon our mind wanders and maybe there's a traffic ahead. We have to get around that. And pretty soon something drops off. Maybe it's the problem we're thinking about from work. Maybe it's that we need to stop by the store. So all these things, God has created us with a finite capacity. We can only have certain things in our minds at a given time, which is okay, but the question is, what are the things that drop off most readily? In our lives in general, is it the Word of God or is it the things of the world? And this, I think, relates to this subject of uniting my heart to fear thy name. We all need time when we can unite our thoughts, when we can have a quiet time each day to study the Word of God and to meditate upon those things which have written, to have a quiet time for prayer and for study. This is something which is pretty easy to do at Bible school. We have lectures such as this, but something very hard to do at home as we have our various various tasks that we have to do, various chores. Perhaps sometimes you think, you know, we really should visit Sister So-and-so. She probably would like a visit. But then you think, oh, wait, we need to, the grass needs to be cut, or we need to run to the store, various other things. So by way of exhortation, we would like you to remember this verse, "Unite my heart to fear thy name." So this is something we need to do every day. Our minds and our hearts need to be united to serve God and to serve him alone, and not let those things of the flesh take us away. We pray that this week of study and meditation around God's words will motivate us toward this task to serve God alone, that the Lord might perfect that which concerneth us, and that each of our hearts might be united in a fear of God, the fear of the God of Israel. We'll close by the reference which is made by this brother walking along this path. It comes from Revelation. "To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life in the paradise of God." Thank you.